Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, September 5th, 2019. Coming up this hour,
stocks rise as the U.S. and China agree to hold trade talks next month.
Another blow for Boris Johnson's Brexit plans. We're live outside Parliament with the latest.
A weak economic reading in Germany is stoking recession concerns.
And we get two key readings on the labor market ahead of Friday's jobs report.
Hurricane Dorian is taking aim for the Carolinas. Plus, our New York Mayor Bill de Blasio's days waning as a presidential candidate. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Yankees beat Texas. The Mets bounce back in Washington. Rafael Nadal advanced to the semifinals of the U.S. Open, and the NFL season kicks off tonight.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures and European equities are tracking a rally in Asia. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 23 points, Dow futures up 230, NASDAQ futures up 85, the DAX in Germany is up 0.8%, so is the CAC in Paris, FTSE 100 down 0.3%, Nikkei 225 in Japan jumped 2.1%, Hang Seng in Hong Kong little changed. 10-year Treasury down 13/32nds, yield 1.51%, yield on the 2-year 1.47%. NYMEX crude oil down 0.2% or 11 cents at $56.15 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.6% or $9 to $15.51.30 an ounce. The euro 1.1038 against the dollar. The yen 106.56. Nathan.
Karen, that lift for futures we're seeing this morning comes over the latest trade developments between the U.S. and China. Let's get the details from Bloomberg's Gina Cervetti.
Nathan and Karen, the two countries announced that face-to-face negotiations aimed at ending their tariff war will be held in Washington in the coming weeks. The vice premier of China agreed to a visit in early October during a telephone call with Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin and Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer. Yesterday, President Trump talked about the impact the dispute is having on Wall Street.
If I wanted to do nothing with China, my stock market, our stock market, would be 10,000 points higher than it is right now. But somebody had to do this. To me, this is much more important than the economy.
Both sides raised tariffs on September 1st. The U.S. plans to add more tariffs on October 1st, and then both nations will increase them again on December 15th, unless there is a breakthrough. Gina Cervetti, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Gina, thank you. The trade news helped lift shares in Asia. We get the recap from Bloomberg's David Angles in Hong Kong.
Karen and Nathan, in news of some progress to look ahead to on trade negotiations, came right at the right time. Cash markets opened up in China as the news was breaking and really provided a shot in the arm for risk assets across the region. The benchmarks now back at one-month highs as we make our way into the last trading session of the week. You have the likes of the KOSPI Index, Taiwan's TAIEX Index, and the CSI 300 up by about 1% each, capping, in China's case, the longest streak of gains for stocks there in over 2 months. Japan's TOPIX index, though, was the big winner of the day, getting a further boost as the yen weakened with traders paring back haven trades. The TOPIX was better in the end by about 1.8%. David Inglis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, David, thanks. In Europe, Boris Johnson's do-or-die Brexit strategy is taking another hit. Let's get the very latest live from outside Parliament with Bloomberg's Roger Hearing. Roger, good morning.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Yes, yet another night of surprises here at Westminster. The latest is that the government is now going to allow a bill that will delay Brexit beyond October the 31st. The tactic seems to be to get the opposition leader, Jeremy Corbyn, to back holding a new election. Boris Johnson's convinced his party could win such a vote. And later today, he plans to make a statement appealing to the British people directly over the heads of out-of-touch politicians as he sees them. There's a lot further to go in this drama. In Westminster, this is Roger Hearing for Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Roger, thank you. Another sign that Europe's largest economy is on the brink of recession. German factory orders fell 2.7% in July. That was worse than expected. And the German economy ministry said no fundamental improvement is in sight for the coming months.
Now, a pair of economic reports set for release today will set the stage for tomorrow's monthly employment data. Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice reports.
Look for generally encouraging news in today's ADP report on August private payrolls and the government's latest tally of weekly jobless claims. Bloomberg Economics says labor market conditions are holding up. Job openings are running close to record levels. Friday's employment report will probably show the economy added roughly 160,000 jobs in August, while unemployment held at 3.7%, close to a half-century low. Vinny Dalciudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thank you. Well, Hurricane Dorian is working its way up the East Coast, and we get the latest now from Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolyn. Rob?
Karen and Nathan were tracking Hurricane Dorian off the coast of South Carolina this morning. The eye remains offshore, but there are tropical storm force winds that are going to be buffeting eastern North South Carolina today. Now, there's also going to be some heavy rain that will extend to central portions of South Carolina today. North Carolina, it's the eastern third of the state that's likely to see the rain later today and tonight. Now, Dorian will continue tracking off towards the north and east and start to accelerate. That should start to weaken the storm. It's forecast to pass well southeast of New England Friday night and early Saturday, but parts of southeastern New England may have some rain Friday night and Saturday, and it could be quite windy over Cape Cod and the islands. Karen, Nathan?
All right, Rob, thank you. And, of course, we'll be checking back in with Rob all morning and have much more in the hurricane and world and national news in just a moment.
Now, in earnings news, shares of Slack are down almost 12% in early trading after projecting slower sales growth. More from Bloomberg's Doug Krisner.
These are Slack's first results as a public company. Its net loss widened to $360 million. Slack also said sales growth will slow for the second half of the year. Slack provides workplace collaboration software and is known for the popular workplace chat app. Its main competitor is Microsoft. For Slack, the key to growth is in adding large clients who spend more than $100,000. Bloomberg Intelligence says less than 1% of Slack's customers meet that profile. Bloomberg Beta, the venture capital arm of Bloomberg LP, is an investor in Slack. I'm Doug Krisner, Bloomberg Daybreak.
President Trump meets today with General Motors CEO Mary Barra just days after he blasted the company for cutting its U.S. workforce. Barra is hoping to discuss jobs, trade, and fuel economy standards. The president has criticized GM's plans to close factories in Michigan and Ohio, two states crucial to his reelection hopes. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It's 5:07 on Wall Street. Let's get that latest world and national news now from Bloomberg's Michael Barr. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Nathan. Hurricane Dorian is heading to the Carolinas, strengthening to a Category 3 storm with sustained winds of 115 miles per hour. More than a million people along the coast are under mandatory evacuation orders. Its center is just over 100 miles south of Charleston, South Carolina. Ed Rappaport is with the National Hurricane Center.
Charleston and Wilmington, very close to the track of the center of the storm, with landfall now forecast for the Outer Banks of North Carolina.
Meanwhile, at least 20 deaths have been reported in the Bahamas from Dorian. Prime Minister Hubert Minnis spoke at a news conference last night.
I spoke with President Donald Trump, who has expressed the support of and pledge the assistance of the United States of America for the Bahamas in our time of need.
Officials in the Bahamas are still warning that the death toll from Dorian is expected to rise as search and rescue efforts continue on its hardest hit islands. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio says he will likely end his long-shot presidential campaign if he does not qualify for the October Democratic debates. De Blasio says that if he doesn't make the October debate stage, it will be tough to conceive of continuing with his campaign. De Blasio qualified for the first two rounds of Democratic presidential debates, but did not make the cut for the September 12th debate in New York. Democratic presidential hopefuls took their message of combating climate change to a town hall last night hosted by CNN. Senator Bernie Sanders promised to find a way to pass climate policy if elected.
We are fighting for the survival of the planet Earth, our only planet. How is this not a major priority? It must be a major priority.
Let me ask you.
Meanwhile, Senator Elizabeth Warren vows to wean the country off nuclear power if elected president. Hong Kong leader Carrie Lam said her decision to scrap extradition legislation was only the first step to addressing the city's unrest. Lam spoke at a news conference today about her decision to formally withdraw the controversial bill allowing extradition to China and other moves. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. 5:09 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Here's John Stashon.
Nathan, just a few years ago, the idea of starting a game with a relief pitcher using only relievers throughout was foreign, but many teams do it now, including the Yankees, and it's been a successful formula. Last night, Chad Green out of the bullpen for the first two innings. Luis Cessa for the next three. Yanks had a shutout going until the ninth. They beat the Rangers at the stadium 4-1. Here's Aaron Boone.
You know, Greeny obviously giving us two strong innings there, and then Cess really to be able to pitch us through into the middle innings there and be really pitch efficient. I thought he was really sharp. A real clean three innings for him, and then able to roll out our guys there, had them all lined up. So, just a really good pitching performance by a lot of the staff tonight.
Judge at a two-run homer. Gleyber Torres a long solo shot to tie Gary Sanchez with the team lead with 34. Yanks have the best record in baseball. Day off today before playing tomorrow in Boston. Nice bounce back for the Mets. Less than 24 hours after being the first team in all of baseball this year to give up seven runs in the ninth inning, they won in Washington 8-4. Robinson Cano back in the lineup. Three hits, including a long two-run homer. 45th home run of the year for Pete Alonso. And the bullpen actually protected the lead. The Mets are also off there in Philadelphia tomorrow. U.S. Open down to the Final Four. Ladies first. Semifinals tonight, starting with Serena Williams against Elena Svitolina, who's seeded higher than Serena and has not lost a set in the tournament. And then it's Belinda Bencic facing the Canadian Bianca Andreescu. She won a three-setter last night before Rafael Nadal won his match in straight sets. NFL's 100th season kicks off tonight. Two original franchises face off, the Packers and the Bears in Chicago. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
NFL 100. All right. Thank you, John. Looking at the market at the moment, we are seeing a risk-on mood pretty much around the world now. S&P futures higher by almost 24 points. Dow futures up 233. NASDAQ futures higher by almost 86 points. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Good Thursday morning. Sports was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Let Burden create innovative tax solutions to benefit your family and your business. Visit burdenllp.com. Burden Accountants and Advisors. They listen, they solve, they do.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks and U.S. stock index futures are climbing this morning, tracking a rally in Asia. News that top U.S. and Chinese officials will hold fresh negotiations on trade next month. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 22 points. Dow futures up 217. NASDAQ futures up 83. The DAX in Germany is up 0.7%. 10-year Treasury down 14/32nds, yield 1.51%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.47%. NYMEX crude oil is down about 0.1% or 4 cents at $56.22 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.6% or $9.10 to $15.5140 an ounce. The euro 1.1040 against the dollar. The British pound 1.2274 and the yen is at 106.55. And today we are watching for a report on private payrolls at 8:15 Wall Street time. At 8:30, it's the weekly report on initial jobless claims. Then at 9:45, the Bloomberg Consumer Comfort Index. And at 10, factory orders, durable goods orders, and a look at the service sector. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. Thousands of desperate hurricane survivors in the Bahamas are seeking help in Dorian's aftermath. The storm's devastation came into sharper focus as the death toll climbed to 20 and many people emerged from shelters to check on their homes. Dorian is back up to a Category 3 storm. A hurricane warning is in effect for the entire South Carolina and North Carolina coast. More than a million people are under mandatory evacuation orders. In baseball, the Yankees won. The Mets beat the Nationals 8-4. The Red Sox, Giants, and A's also winners. At the U.S. Open, Rafael Nadal advanced to the semifinals. And in the NFL, let's get this party started. The opening regular season game begins tonight with the Packers at the Bears. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
I see somebody's ready for some football. Okay, Michael, thank you. It's 519 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's get get ready for the trading day now. For that, we're joined by Stephen Gallo, head of European FX at BMO Capital Markets. Always nice to talk with you, Stephen, particularly on a risk-on day like this one with the U.S. and China at least announcing plans that they're going to talk on trade next month. Is there reason to think that this could be more than just a headline move for markets?
It's a difficult call to make. We really are all flying by the seats of our pants in this U.S.-China trade war, and as are I think the leaders of the two the countries in question, the U.S. and China. It is clear that we are moving to a more bipolar structure for the world economy. The economic and geopolitical rivalry between the United States will probably continue for a long time, even after Donald Trump is gone and no longer president. In this battle, because of the size of the economies in question, in terms of their weight in global trade and geopolitics, there's always the threat of mutually assured destruction. And so you're always going to see periods of increasing tension and then followed by periods where things cool off a little bit, because both sides know that they can do enormous damage to one another, depending on how fast or how quickly things spiral out of control. So we are really all, these are uncharted waters for all of us. It's difficult to make any clear judgment about how exactly this is going to go, other than the fact that clearly this is a new paradigm for the global economy and the relationship between the U.S. and China.
Well, let's try to chart these waters a bit if we can. If we are heading toward a restructuring, what could that mean for currency markets?
Well, that's the issue is that you might expect there to be some really, really explosive moves in FX. We've seen a few, but overall volatility, implied volatility, is quite subdued. But I think what that means is what it reflects is the fact that people just don't know. The safe trade in 2019, the trade we've been putting our weight behind, has been to be long dollars, to buy the dollar on dips. We're still in that camp because we think the reordering of the global economy, the global reset, if you like, is initially dollar positive for various reasons, and I don't have the benefit of time to go into all of those reasons now in this interview, but that is generally the trade. Now, we're coming up to a Fed rate decision, right? We've just around 2 weeks to go into the FOMC rate decision. The debate is raging about, is it going to be 25? Is it going to be 50? Is the Fed going to eventually relaunch QE again? Are they going to cut to zero? So around Fed rate decisions, you don't want to be, in particular, you don't want to be adding aggressively to that long dollar position. So I wouldn't be adding to my long dollar position now. I'd be waiting as we come into that FOMC rate decision. But by and large, it looks very much like the structural factors in play in the global economy are worse outside of the United States. And that is a net positive for the U.S. dollar, at least over the course of the next 3 to 6 months. We have to see. We have to see when the inflection point is going to come in the dollar. That is going to be one of the more difficult calls to make over the next 3 to 6 months. Are we going to have an inflection point where the dollar starts to weaken off? We don't know yet, but right now we're dollar positive overall.
Only about a minute left here, and I wish we had more time, but I got to get your take on the pound. What's your outlook now with the possibility of no-deal Brexit looking like, at least for now, less of a possibility?
Yes, certainly the odds, if anything, have gone down a little bit. But I think the situation in the UK, very similar to one that we're seeing in Germany, France, and Italy, whereas you have certain portions of the, I guess you're going to call it, the political establishment, which are trying to hang on to the status quo. So in the UK, you have a prime minister here who is trying to get a vote. He's trying to go back to the people, and parliamentarians are resisting him. I do not think that will eventually end well for those trying to hold on to the status quo. But we'll see. Still, we still say that the odds favor early elections in October and probably a no-deal Brexit at the end of October.
I will have to leave it there for now. Stephen Gallo, always good getting your insights. It's Stephen Gallo. He's head of European FX strategy at BMO Capital Markets. And we are seeing a lift for cable this morning on the latest Brexit developments. The pound is at 1.2268 against the dollar. That is some strengthening for the pound this morning. As far as equity markets, they're stronger as well, with S&P futures higher by 22 points. Dow futures up 211. NASDAQ futures up 82.5 on this risk-on morning. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's 525 on Wall Street. You're listening to Bloomberg Radio, streaming live 24 hours a day on the Bloomberg Business app, radio.com, the iHeartRadio app, and Bloomberg.com.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York.
Bloomberg 1130.
To Washington, D.C.
Bloomberg 991.
To Boston.
Bloomberg 1061.
To San Francisco.
Bloomberg 960.
To the country.
Sirius XM Channel 119.
And around the globe.
The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are rising on news U.S. and Chinese officials will meet early next month for fresh negotiations on trade.
U.K. Prime Minister Boris Johnson has suffered two more defeats in the House of Commons. MPs blocked Johnson's plans for a snap election next month, and Johnson failed to stop a bill which effectively prevents a no-deal Brexit. Now, Johnson hinted he could push to go to the ballot boxes again, issuing a direct plea to Labour leader Jeremy Corbyn.
The obvious conclusion is, I'm afraid, that he does not think he will win.
Yeah.
I urge his colleagues to reflect on what I think is the unsustainability of this position overnight and in the course of the next few days.
And checking the pound right now, it is stronger at trading at 1.2272 against the dollar.
German factory orders fell 2.7% in July, aggravating an industrial slump that has pushed Europe's largest economy to the brink of recession.
Sweden's Riksbank left its main interest rate at minus 0.25% as forecast.
Here in the U.S., we will get two ratings on the labor market ahead of tomorrow's jobs report. They are the ADP report on August private payrolls and weekly jobless claims. Then at 10 a.m. Wall Street time, economists are forecasting factory orders probably rose in July for the second month in a row. Bloomberg's Vinnie Dalgiudice reports.
Manufacturing is technically in a recession, with Federal Reserve data showing factory output down for two consecutive quarters. Don't look for a whole lot of encouragement in today's report, especially with White House tariffs. Advanced data on July durable goods orders did show the largest gain in 11 months, but shipments, a critical category, dropped the most since October 2016. Earlier this week, more current data, the ISM Factory Index, contracted in August for the first time in 3 years. Vinnie Dalgiudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thank you. Shares of Slack are down more than 12% in early trading. The maker of office communication software projected slower sales growth for the second half of the year. It's the first time Slack reported results since it went public in June.
And Berkshire Hathaway is getting ready to price the biggest yen bond deal ever by a non-Japanese issuer as investors line up to own a piece of debt from Warren Buffett's company. The U.S. conglomerate is preparing to price a $4 billion six-part bond offering on Friday. Futures this morning are higher. S&P futures up 22 points. Dow futures up 213. NASDAQ futures up 83. The 10-year Treasury down 14/32, yield 1.51%. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It's 5:33 on Wall Street. Time to check in with Michael Barr to find out what's happening in the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. About 1 million people are under mandatory evacuation orders as Hurricane Dorian takes aim for the Carolinas. Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolin has the latest on the Category 3 storm.
Michael,
Hurricane Dorian is located to the east of the South Carolina coast this morning. It'll continue to parallel the coast. Along the coast, we'll see tropical storm force winds and gusts, and rain will extend as far inland as Columbia. We'll also see the storm moving off towards the north and east today, so eventually we'll see tropical storm force winds overspread eastern North Carolina, particularly over the Outer Banks. Now, the good news is Dorian will start to weaken and accelerate today, and it's forecast to pass well south of the northeastern United States tomorrow, but it still could bring some rain to southeastern New England, particularly Cape Cod and the islands, as it goes by Friday night and early Saturday. Michael?
Thank you very much, Rob. President Trump said many options are being considered in Washington as lawmakers get back to work in the wake of a string of mass shootings that left dozens dead over the summer. At the White House, the president asked whether any of the proposed plans of action would upset the National Rifle Association. He replied, maybe.
We're going to do what's right. I respect the NRA greatly. They were very nice to me. They supported me. And I have great respect for them. They love our country. But we're going to do what's right. And you know what? The NRA wants to do what's right, too.
10 Democratic presidential candidates took the stage in New York at back-to-back town halls, taking questions about their climate change proposals. Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren is vowing to wean the country off nuclear power if elected president. Warren says we must stand up to the companies that are causing the problems in the environment.
We got to have tough rules that we are willing to enforce. And that means we have got to be willing to fight back against these giant industries.
Presidential candidate Joe Biden addressed some of the recent gaffes on the campaign trail. The former vice president joked about the mistakes on The Late Show with Stephen Colbert.
Confused New Hampshire for Vermont, said Bobby Kennedy and MLK were assassinated in the late 70s, assured us, I'm not going nuts. Follow-up question, are you going nuts?
Look, the reason I came on the Jimmy Kimmel Show is because I'm not.
New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio says he will likely end his presidential campaign if he does not qualify for the October Democratic debates. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. We're coming up to 5:36 on Wall Street. That's time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Here's John Stashar.
Nathan, in 4 weeks, we'll be into the baseball postseason. The Yankees look ready. Guys are getting healthy. They've won 8 of the last 10, 43 games over 500. Owners of the best record in the majors. 4-1 win over Texas at the stadium. Home runs for Aaron Judge and Gleyber Torres. Luis Sessa, 3 solid innings of relief to get the win. A 10-game road trip starts tomorrow night in Boston. Mets are coming home. Face Philadelphia tomorrow. They've lost their last 6 home games. They did have a 4-2 road trip. That loss Tuesday still stings, blowing the 6-run lead of the ninth inning. They did bounce back yesterday in Washington, winning 8-4. Pete Alonso with his 45th home run.
Feels pretty good. I mean, I feel really, really fortunate. I feel really happy with how I've been performing, and the year's not over yet. Just need to keep on playing well, capitalizing on good pitches, and just keep trying to help this team win.
Robinson Cano returned to the Met lineup, had 3 hits with a home run. Zach Wheeler got the win. Wilson Ramos saw his hitting streak end at 26. U.S. Open semifinals are set. The men tomorrow will have Grigor Dimitrov, who just beat Roger Federer, against Daniil Medvedev, and then it's Rafael Nadal and the Italian Matteo Berrettini. He won an epic match yesterday, 5th set tiebreaker with Gail Monfils. Nadal last night, straight sets over Diego Schwartzman. Women's semis tonight, Serena Williams beats Elena Svitolina. Belinda Bencic goes against the Canadian Bianca Andreescu. When the Giants open the season Sunday in Dallas, Zeke Elliott will play for the Cowboys. Star back ended his holdout, get a new 6-year deal. Packers and Bears open the season tonight in Chicago. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. It is 5:37 on Wall Street. And as you mentioned, the Giants open their season against the Cowboys with running back Ezekiel Elliott. Cowboys owner Jerry Jones talked about that 6-year extension with Bloomberg's Vonnie Quinn.
It's great to have that 21 Zeke Elliott bag, but I am about $100 million lighter. We are glad to have him carrying the ball.
And all the contract is for 8 years and $103 million. $50 million of that is guaranteed. That was Cowboys owner Jerry Jones speaking with Bloomberg's Vonnie Quinn. We're coming up to 5:38 on Wall Street. The latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now. It is a double issue of the periodic table of elements. Vernon Silver wrote about mercury for Bloomberg Business Week.
With mercury, quicksilver as it's known, the stuff that you would normally find in, let's say, a thermometer, you wouldn't necessarily find it or think you would find it in a cream or a soap because it's poison.
You can read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now and listen to Business Week with Carol Masser and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio. Time now for the Tri-State Business Report with Bloomberg's John Tucker. John, good morning.
Good morning, Nate. Crews have finished 8 weeks of rail maintenance at Pennsylvania Station in Midtown that required commuter trains to alter service in July and August. The upgrades were made to an area called JO Interlocking, used by Amtrak, LIRR, and New Jersey Transit. Drug makers such as Connecticut-based Purdue Pharma and others are facing claims they downplayed the addictive risk of their opioid pills, with their liability running into the tens of billions. Some have raised the possibility of bankruptcy. And ridership is falling, but that hasn't stopped municipalities from investing in mass transit. According to a report by Moody's Investor Service, the report covers 10 transit systems from New York to San Francisco. And that is your Tri-State Business Report. Nathan.
All right, John. Thank you. 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio's on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Andrew O'Day on WBZ in Boston. I'm talking about CVS clearing the final legal hurdle in its $68 billion takeover of Aetna.
I'm Steve Potusk, and on KMOX in St. Louis, I'm reporting on a federal court ordering Anheuser-Busch to take the phrase "no corn syrup" off Bud Light packaging.
I'm Caroline Hepke on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on Boris Johnson's direct appeal to voters on Brexit after his parliamentary defeat.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and on WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that Americans continue to turn away from milk.
I'm Andrew O'Day on WBZ in Boston. I'm talking about CVS clearing the final legal hurdle in its $68 billion takeover of Aetna.
All right, those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Another story we're watching, bankrupt California utility PG&E floating a restructuring plan, calls for $14 billion in equity commitments, but it's not saying what the liabilities are. PG&E is expected to be on the hook for billions in claims from California wildfires ignited by its equipment. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Coming up to 5:41 on Wall Street, straight ahead, we check in with Bloomberg Opinion, our global platform for fast commentary and instant analysis of some of this morning's top news. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.